to the Subcommittee on General Government for Thursday, March the 24th, 2005. Anne Marie is ready to go. Dallas from LFO. We are opening a public hearing this morning on Senate Bill 5512, Office of the Governor, and House Bill 5033, Government Standards and Practices Commission. And the purpose of this hearing is to have the committee budget priorities discussion. With that, we will commence with Office of the Governor and the Chief of Staff. Ms. McHugh arrived right on time. Would you join us, please?
May I interject?
Please.
A bit of a correction from yesterday. Remember when I suggested we didn't have to worry about prioritize the lottery funds going to county fairs through the Department of Administrative Services? I said it'd be in another bill. I was mistaken. If that is a statutory, they distribute up to 1% of lottery funds, not to exceed $1.55 million per year, to be indexed to inflation. It's a law. It's a pass-through. And I thought, because the analysis was in the economic development section, I thought it would be carried in another bill. I was sorely
Mark
mistaken.
Mark this down. Dallas has made a mistake.
We can give this to Pat Hearn instead. How's that?
Yeah. So,
yeah, Pat, pay attention. We're about to give you $3 million.
Yeah. Anyway, so whatever your priorities are, if you'd let me know on that one, it's a pass-through, and I will put it in the official memo.
I think. Representative Avakian.
I told him my priority was a 1 for a pass-through of that money.
And I would be a 1 for a pass-through of that money.
I'm a 1 for the pass-through of that money.
Okay.
Okay.
I will.
It sounds like whose line is it anyway?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Good morning, Ms. McHugh. Good morning. The way that this has operated is that the committee is using as their base document the priorities submitted in the high-level presentation that occurred in Phase 1. We have asked the staff to act as scriveners to carry forth the rankings that the committee provides to the co-chairs for the preparation of their co-chair budget due on or about April the 4th. We have operated in a consensus model. We have flagged certain issues that would profit from additional discussion and are asking that the agency, or in this case the governor's office, come back with additional information that might edify future deliberations in Phase 2. I have to apologize again to you. I had the plague and was missing the day that you did your high-level presentation, and so I'm operating with not quite the same level of information that my colleagues have. I know Senator Morris is going to join us momentarily. He's out in the hall having a consultation with Mr. Rocco. And so with that, we will begin. And what we have done is to just go literally line item by line item, see what the committee's thoughts are. We have used a high, medium, and low. This has less to do with our value judgment on the merits of the program than it has to do with our prioritization inside the portfolio of responsibilities, whether we think things are essential to functioning versus less essential. So with that, we will commence with the Governor's Office Administration. Representative Avakian.
Hi.
I'm a high. Senator Morris.
Hi.
Morissette.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi. The Economic Revitalization Team.
Hi.
I'm a high.
Hi.
But I would like to flag that, Dallas, if you don't mind, for some additional discussion with its with respect to its relationship with OECDD. This is an acronym free zone, I need to remind myself, Oregon Economic and Community Development. There are three members of this committee who also serve on the Economic Development and Transportation Subcommittee, and we have been working through Oregon Economic and Community Development's budget, and it seems appropriate that we have some additional discussion. Senator Morris, we had two pieces of business in your absence. Dallas admitted that he had made a mistake yesterday with respect to county fairs. That is, in fact, a pass-through statutorily required. It resides in DAS budget. Your colleagues and I have all indicated that complying with that statutory mandate is a high. Would you care?
I would agree.
Okay. And we are on line 2 in the governor's budget. We have already discussed the governor's office administration. We were in consensus that that was a high. We have just now discussed the economic revitalization team and await your thoughts on that.
The first office administration high,
The ERT is high.
Good. All right. Office of Rural Policy, Representative Avaki.
I had a high, but I wanted to flag that for the same reason you just wanted to flag the revitalization team.
Thank you, and that mirrors my thoughts, except I'm a medium. I had the privilege of being appointed to that policy group at its inception, and I have struggled a little bit with understanding what the totality of their work scope is and what will be sustainable funding for that enterprise.
Madam Chair, I rank it low, and that may sound kind of interesting coming from someone who represents rural. But I'm wondering why we couldn't combine the two into the economic revitalization, and that's really what we're talking about. The mandate is for rural policy, as per the documents, is to do an issues assessment and a needs assessment of rural Oregon. And I don't understand why we can't just wrap that into one activity, into economic revitalization, and look at all those issues as well. So it's a high issue, I think, of importance. It's how we deliver it would be, in my opinion, open for discussion.
I share that same. Senator Morissette.
Well, I think it's a high issue in importance, so I'm a high.
Okay, moving next to the Advocate for Minority Women and Emerging Small Business.
Hi.
Senator Morris.
Well, I have a high-low, high in importance. I'm wondering how this overlaps with other agencies and all the efforts that we're doing. If it's efficacious and everything is, we're building on things, then fine. If we're overlapping and we're not really accomplishing much, then I have a question.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Senator Morissette.
Again, I'm a high because of the importance of the mission.
And I am going to ask the professional staff to flag this for exactly the same reasons that Senator Morris has articulated. We have discovered in budgets, many budgets, that there are pockets of this activity, and it is an extremely important activity, but I think some of us are struggling with why we have it in ODOT, why we have it in in the Oregon Department of Transportation, why we have it in your office. If you'd like to offer a comment, I would be happy to.
For the record, Teresa McHugh from the Governor's Office, perhaps one of the things that we can do for you is give you a little history and provide to your staff on what's happened over time with the office. This particular function is the advocate office, which in fact is kind of the watchdog for the other pieces of the operation. It used to exist, as I recall, within what was Department of Insurance and Finance. And it was a decision made by the legislature, I believe, a few sessions ago that said the advocate portion should be drawn out. And then there was discussion of where was the best place to put it. But perhaps one of the things we can do is provide a little history of what's happened with this function and where it existed and kind of for some context for you as you look at what makes sense of the different pieces and how they fit together and what's happened over time.
That would be very useful. I think what at least three of us that serve on two of the same subs are wrestling with is just why we have administrators and staff scattered in at least four agencies that I can think of. What I've said is kind of a shorthand. I'd like to figure out where it is, what it does, and how I can find it in the phone book if I want to call and seek assistance in any one of these issue areas.
Yeah, happy to get you a little more background on that one and how it's functioned over time.
Let me just, if you don't mind, catch us up with our colleague, Mr. Smith. He is going to be late, and he is, for number one, a high, Governor's Administration. He is a medium for the Economic Revitalization. He is a medium for the Office of Rural Policy. He is a high for the Advocate for Minority Women and Emerging Small Business. Okay, we now move to an allied affirmative action.
I have a medium, laudable goal, but I think more and better work to be done in that area.
Representative Smith is a high.
Again, a high-low for the same discussion.
Senator Morissette?
Well, I'm a high because of the importance, but I think, we obviously have to look at the effectiveness of it and is it really happening. I know Senator Gordley keeps asking that question. And so we need to take a look at, are you achieving the goals that you that should be achieved? So
I think that's a completely legitimate question. It goes to the same discussion. We have $457,000 for the Advocate for Minority Women in Emerging Small Business. We have $428,000 for Affirmative Action. And I think some measure of how well we're doing across agencies, and again, I would make the case for centralization rather than these multiple initiatives. Yeah. And Representative Smith is a high.
And I would add across agencies, Madam Chair, and within the governor's office himself.
Yes. Okay, moving on to page two. Arrest and return.
Hi.
Hello. I'm wondering why it's in the governor's office and not in the Department of Corrections, and what efficiencies could be gained, reduced costs by putting it in DOC.
Let's get Senator Morissette's...
Hi. It's an important function. Where it goes is another question.
I would like the professional staff to flag this for the reasons articulated by Senator Morris. Representative Smith is a low. I am a...
And I'm now going to steal yours.
I'm a high-low. And I think it's worthy of additional conversation. And last but not... Oh, Ms. McHugh, do you have a comment?
No, I think actually, as you see our criteria, the way this was put together with those functions, the closer they got to bomb, again, was not a comment on the function, but more that it could be sustained elsewhere, perhaps should be reviewed for whether it makes sense to be sustained elsewhere. And we can give you all the reasons and go back and provide why they ended up in a governor's office versus out in an agency. But certainly they are less connected to the primary mission of the governor's office.
Mr. Wynan.
I was just going to add, Madam Chair, that we... This has been looking for a home, and it was the last budget session that we put it in the governor's office because of what's it called? You bring extradition is a gubernatorial responsibility. The governor has to request extradition.
Well, we can supply kind of that background. And again, I think the same criteria you're using for some of the way.
Okay. I think all of us have. Indicate. Okay, and last but not least, sustainability.
Medium.
Low.
Low.
High.
Low. And that concludes the worksheet that you offered. Any comments from the governor's office?
No, I appreciate the going through this, and we'll get you some more information on some of those pieces in terms of how they ended up in a governor's office so that you have that for context as you look at those issues.
Good. Any comments or questions from the panel? Okay, thank you very much. Whoops, before you escaped, Teresa.
No, I was just going to say, if you're ready to move on, Mr. Rocco's not here, we might want to skip to the work session.
That would be fine. And if Mr. Rocco is listening, we'll do the work session. And so I thank you, Ms. McHugh. I need to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 5512, the Office of the Governor, and open a public hearing and work session on the Department of Administrative Services, a federal grant application, and invite Dr. Goldberg from the Office of Oregon Health Policy and Research and Satish Upadhyay to the table. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
For the record, if you would state your name, please.
Indeed, for the record, Bruce Goldberg, Administrator of the Office for Oregon Health Policy and Research.
And I think all the material members is on your place.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm here today to request approval to submit a federal grant application to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Health Resources and Services Administration. The purpose of this grant is to help us with some technical assistance as we go forth and put forward our state Medicaid waiver renewal. This is a part of a federal program. We have actually received federal funds from HRSA since the year 2000. With an initial grant, these funds have allowed us as a state to redesign the Oregon Health Plan, helped us establish Oregon Health Plan Plus and Standard, helped us establish the FEOP program, helped us evaluate changes in the Oregon Health Plan. What this particular request would do, it's an extension of our current grant. It would allow us to do planning and actuarial analysis on how to best cover children and non-categorical adults on the Oregon Health Plan. It would help us do some outreach and enrollment for the Oregon Health Plan. And lastly, it would allow us to work with some communities. There are a number of communities in the state that are looking to develop ways within a community to pool their resources to figure out local community solutions on how to cover individuals within their communities, bringing together hospitals, doctors, and others. And this would provide some of the technical assistance to allow us to do that.
Thank you very much, Doctor. Any questions for Dr. Goldberg?
Thank you.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Chair Johnson. So will these dollars supplant existing dollars in the budget, or it's completely new revenue?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, this is potentially new revenue. This is exactly what actually our office has been doing for the last several years, is seeking federal grant dollars to fund the activities of our office. It wouldn't be supplanting anything.
Okay, follow up.
So
I don't have the Department of Administrative Services budget with me. In that budget, I recall though that we were making an allocation for the funding of the Office of Oregon Health Policy. Were those dollars, Dallas, based upon the assumption that this grant would be approved?
Not this particular grant, but some of the with that degree of specificity, but it does presume them receiving federal funds and some other grant funds.
So, just to follow up. So the dollars that we assumed in there, those in the Department of Administrative Services budget, those were not actual dollars as of yet in that budget. They weren't general fund. They weren't lottery fund. They weren't fee income. I'm trying to figure out if this gets approved, what's going to happen to the $400,000 that was in that budget?
Dr. Goldberg.
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, two-thirds of the dollars in this grant don't actually fund anything within our office. They fund technical assistance, allow us to purchase actuarial services, consultants, to help us do some of this work. These dollars would not be supplanting what we currently do. Without these dollars, we would not be able to do this work.
Are these dollars in that budget?
No.
There were three line items in that budget, if I can recall. There was the operation of the administrative portion of the health policy office. There was about $300,000 for commission work, and there was about $300,000 or $400,000 for the prescription portion of your responsibilities. And I think that this would be in addition to the 1.3 that actually operates your office and would allow you to go out and buy these extra services that inform your mission.
So follow up. So how come these dollars weren't put in your budget?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, we just learned of the opportunity to apply for this grant 3 weeks ago. What we're doing is requesting approval to apply for these funds. They were not part of the budgeting, and we don't know that we will be successful in doing this. Every year, what we have done is we get, in essence, $1 million of general fund, and we operate an office with about $4 million worth of programs. Most of it we fund by getting grants exactly like this. If we're not successful, we cannot do that work.
And thereby scale back the work that you're doing.
Absolutely.
In your office. So this is really the question before the committee is, will we authorize the application for a grant that's a competitive grant? You don't know if you're going to get it, but you're asking permission of the legislature to make the application.
Make the application. If we're successful, we would come back to the e-board and ask for limitation of funds.
Follow-up, Representative Smith. I have a problem. When I read the nature of the request, it says request approval to apply for a continuation of a federal state planning grant in the amount of $400,000. How did you not know about this until 3 weeks ago if this is a continuation?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, the federal government puts out announcements when funds become available. Actually, there was an announcement that came out in September that this would be that this might be available. Funds were not available from the federal government at that point. We were on notice that there was the potential to apply for this, and now they finally were able to acquire the funds to put out the requests and allow people to apply.
And Dr. Goldberg, you have been funded previously by the Health Resources Services Administration of the United States Department of Health and Human Services. So when you use the word continuation, this is continuing federal funding from the Health Resources Services Administration.
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, that's correct. We were successful in applying for a grant in 2000. There are about 30 states that have grants. Every year, they make available what's called continuation funding as part of this program. Not every state is successful in getting continuation funding, nor is it guaranteed. In essence, this is a new competitive grant. It's not continuing anything because we must compete the continuation of the program in the federal parks.
I have, Madam Chair.
Follow-up purpose.
I have no problem with the nature of the request. I have no problem with the agency action. I have no problem with approval. The problem I'm struggling with is you're getting caught in something that happened to me yesterday and that I was lied to. And one of the things I want to make sure now is that our committee serves budget committees more than policy committees. And one of the things that I want to make sure is if we knew this potentially was available in September, I want to know why it wasn't in the budget as a prospective item to pursue rather than now we're finding out about it and how we're going to deal with it. Perhaps in round two, we can make sure that this $400,000 gets discussed as part of the overall package.
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, if I might just clarify. We did not know it was available in September. What we knew is that it was potentially available,
okay.
That there was the potential for the federal government to make available these funds. There was no RFP that was put out. There was no opportunity to apply for this. There was no funding. The funding became available. The RFPs went out approximately a month ago. As part of that process, we then made a decision within the office to apply for this grant. We're going through the process of seeking approval to apply, but this was not an opportunity that was available to the office in September.
I feel very good about this, Madam Chair. I would just ask that when we get into round two, that this committee be reminded of the $400,000 and how it plays in your overall mission.
Assuming they're successful.
Assuming they're successful.
Madam,
right.
Madam Chair.
Representative Ivakian.
And just because we're creating a record here, and I don't have a question for you, it's just a statement. And whenever you found out about it, I'm glad you did find out about it and you're applying for it. But I think what's even sadder than what Representative Smith has been talking about is that we have an agency that needs to be out scrounging around for federal money in order to fund two programs that we tell them they have to manage.
Thank you very much, Representative Ivakian. Do we have a recommendation from the Budget and Management?
Yes, Madam Chair, and members of the subcommittee, Trustee Upadhyay with the Department of Administrative Services, we recommend that you approve this request. Again, this is a request just to apply for this federal grant. And if they receive it, DAS will come before the emergency board to get the necessary federal funds expenditure limitation.
Thank you, Mr. Upadhyay. Senator Morsett.
Thank you. I'm very interested in the grant. If we do receive it in terms of how it trickles down to individuals out in the state. I mean, you're going to hire consultants, you're going to do various kinds of things, I'm assuming, that allow you to continue efficiently to do your mission, but it seems to me there should be some trickle-down effect in terms of services, I would hope. And so I'm looking forward to you coming back When will you know if you, well, you're going to apply now. Is there a date that you should know about this?
Madam Chair, Senator Morsett, generally we hear about this sometime in September.
Oh, okay.
And the start of the, generally, in the past, we have heard the last week of September for a grant that then begins on October 1.
Follow-up, Senator Morsett.
I guess when you do come back, I'd like to know what the grant will do. I mean, just in detail, and that's what we all have been talking about, is give us some detailed information about how this would be applied to your program.
Absolutely. In fact, I'd be happy to provide you with copies of the grant application. With your approval today, we will be submitting it and happy to give you copies.
Dr. Goldberg, I think what I would like is to poll the panel to see who would like copies of it. We know Senator Morissette does. I don't need to see it. I trust your professional expertise. Anybody else want to see a copy of the grant document?
Manager.
I can't read everything I got now.
No. This is an area of particular interest to me.
I know that.
The committee, and I definitely want to see whatever you have and talk about it.
Come back and show us the money.
Just bring us a copy of the check.
This is what I try to do, and we'll, with your approval, we'll continue to try and do that.
Dallas, do we have an LFO recommendation?
Yes, to recommend approval.
Thank you. The chair would then entertain a motion to approve the submission of a federal grant application by the Office for Health, Oregon Health Policy and Research to the Oregon Health, to the Health Resources Services Administration of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services in the amount of $400,000.
So moved.
Thank you very much. Do we need to do a roll call?
No.
Okay. Great. Representative Avakian, would you like to carry this to full?
Certainly.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. And so we will then close the work session on the grant application by the Office of Oregon Health Policy and Research.
Thank you. We'll go forth and do good.
Thank you. And we would ask Mr. Hearn from Government Standards and Practices to join us at the witness table. And you heard all of the comments that I made to Ms. McHugh so that you know what to expect as we begin this prioritization. There may be questions about the items that you brought forward in your high-level presentation. But principally, this would be an opportunity for the committee to deliberate and send their recommendations on to the co-chairs. Any questions or comments before we start?
No, Madam Chair.
Good morning. Good morning. Mr. Avakian, number one, training.
Actually, Madam Chair, I have highs in each category and no questions.
Thank you.
I have medium on number one, simply because I would like to work towards a better delivery method. All the rest I have is highs.
I have a high-low. Again, rather than taking these out of general funds, to the extent that we provide training for state, I can see the general fund sub-state, but to the extent that we provide training for counties and cities, I think that should be self-liquidating, that activity, and not be a part of the general fund, and devise some kind of a program to where by feeding the charge for the training supply, it liquidates the cost. So that's my interest.
Thank you.
It's a very high importance, but how do we pay for it?
Thank you. Senator Morsett.
Well, I have highs in all of them because each priority is very, very important. How they're delivered is another question, and I think we have to have that discussion. So, but as far as the priorities, that's part of the problem here. How do you argue with some of the priorities? You can argue with delivery and where it should be, but it's hard, you know, to... So, I'm a high.
Yeah. Great. And I am a high on all of them, subscribing now to the Morris theory of high-low. I'm a high-low on number one. And I would very much like to ask the professional staff on behalf of the committee to flag that as a point for discussion. Because I did this once before and I did not get into too much trouble with the co-chairs, the fact that we have two people here that I know have a keen interest in this issue, I am going to invite you to come forward with very short testimony. I know that one of you has made a trip at considerable distance. I'd like you to limit your testimony because technically we shouldn't be taking testimony at this point in time, but I would invite you to come forward. Mr. Hearn, you can stay there.
As they come up, can I ask Mr. Hearn one question?
Sure.
From the statements of economic interest, I've always had trepidation with these, not because of the need for them. I'm just not sure what it tells them.
I'm sorry, Representative Smith, I couldn't hear you.
Statements of economic interest. While fully supporting the concept, it goes back to the delivery method, and I'm not sure what it shares with Oregonians. We've all just received our statements here, in the last week or two to fill out again, and I'm not sure the value of that. Not saying I could put together a better form, but I'm not sure what it...
Chair Johnson, Representative Smith, I think you could put together a better form. I think just about anyone could put together a better form.
How did we get that one?
Very honestly. It's actually legislated 30 years ago when it was created, when the Ethics in Government Act was passed. The content of that form is actually specified in the statute. There are some filers who file... voluntary information that isn't required, i.e. additional sheets of paper, etc. Some of the information we see on those is quite helpful. But by and large, what you'll see on 90% plus of the statements of economic interest filed, if it's a typical two-income household, you're going to see what those two jobs are that those people hold, and that's it. And so the value of it is indeed questionable. I will, Madam Chair, if I may just follow up again. I may suggest that there might have been some intent to limit the value and depth of the information that was asked for.
Representative Smith, I'm going to interrupt here and exercise the prerogative of the chair. Mr. Hearn, this has been one of the difficulties that I've had with your presentation and now your exchange with Representative Smith. I think that the legislature, at least I do, looks to the agency heads to be professionals and to run their shop in a way that is the most cost efficient. And bring forward to the legislature any of your policy suggestions. What you've just told us is it's been this way for 30 years. It has no value. It's sort of a crummy exercise, but that's what the legislature told me to do. I think in phase two, what I would like to ask is some leadership from you in helping us understand how we as the legislature can help government standards and practices deliver a relevant, efficient product that is useful to the citizens of the state of Oregon. And if you think, as you just stated, and correct me if I'm putting words in your mouth, that the statement of economic interest is of low value and there could be improvements, I would expect those to come from you. And so I just want to offer that for phase two in looking for your input to help instruct us.
Madam Chair, I appreciate your comments. I do apologize. I did not mean to go sideways in any way. I certainly do want to help and do what I can, and I will do my best to do that.
Good. I interrupted you. Representative,
I want to feed into that. about 3 weeks ago, I took what I would consider a very cheap shot in the Willamette Week. And the reason I took that cheap shot was because on my webpage, my legislative webpage, I, by my own efforts, put a conflict of interest statement on there. The committee I chair, by nature, is very related to my professional career. And so I wanted every constituent of mine to know that the committee I chair is related to the work I do. I don't have any role in choosing my committee. I actually didn't ask for that committee. I also took my CNEs and put a direct link to my CNEs. And somehow, you know, I think some of us need some training on, you know, how do we ease our conscience in making sure we feel like we're doing the right thing, and at the same time not set ourselves up to take cheap shots because we didn't put the exact sentence in. And that's really bothered me because my wife said, well, what are you doing this for? And I said, because I want folks to know. I have nothing to hide. And the next thing I know, I'm rogue of the week. How do you help us?
Chair Johnson, Representative Smith, it's a difficult situation to give definite advice. I can say... In general, it's been my experience that public officials, legislators, and others generally shield themselves more from taking cheap shots by over-disclosing than by under-disclosing. In other words, even if it isn't required that a conflict of interest be declared or that something else be disclosed, it's generally appeared to be more positive for the public official to go ahead and over-disclose information.
Thank you. Senator Morsett.
Just one suggestion about reworking that, and I've mentioned this before. I think it should be for the current year. I think it would help to know what people are doing now rather than what they did last year and they're out of here. You know, I mean, I know the income tax you do for the previous year, but I think that the disclosure of activity should be for the current year, for what it's worth.
All right. Well, in phase two, I think you can anticipate that this is an issue area that the committee would like to delve into. In fact, I think probably in round two, we will be having some considerable conversation about all five of your priorities. And, again, I'm going to struggle with listening for your input to help recommend to the legislature what would make your shop more effective and deliver better for Oregonians. Any other comments from Mr. Hearn? All right. This is a departure from the instructions to the co-chair. I know that you have had a keen interest and attended all of the meetings. If you would state your name for the record, and this is going to be very short testimony.
For the record, my name is Christy Munson. I'm counsel for the League of Oregon Cities. We're an association that represents 240 cities throughout Oregon. We do extensive ethics and good government training throughout Oregon. I personally go out during the interim and go to 5-6 locations, and we call it our roadshow. We work with the Government Standards and Practices Commission pretty closely, and we rely on their help and advice and appreciate that you know that they're important, that they be funded from the general fund. We've done some preliminary research. No other state funds their ethics commissions on using local government funding. They find that it's important. They use let me clarify. No other state that we've called, and we've called probably 15 states now. I want to clarify that. Sorry. But we appreciate that you note that it's important. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
For the record, my name is Sarah Weatherson. I'm with the Money and Politics Research Action Project, and my colleague and I disagree a little bit about where the funding for this program should come. However, I'm delighted to see that across the board your support for the Government Standards and Practices Commission. We would like to see a more independent source of funding for the Government Standards and Practices Commission. We'd like to see some efforts made to make the funding for this important watchdog agency be less attached to the political whims, if you will, of the legislature. And this year it looks like we have lots of support from all sides for the Government Standards and Practices Commission, but it isn't always that way. That's why we brought a bill to the legislature. We worked with Senator Brown's office to bring Senate Bill 420. Obviously, there are some differences that we need to work out about that, but it's our attempt to try to find a way to fund this agency so that it's more independent from and less politicized. Its funding is less politicized. So,
Ms. Weatherston, what would be your recommendations for a source of funding that is, quote, less attached to the political whims of the legislature?
That's a tall order.
I've got an idea.
Madam Chair, and what we recommended in this bill was to place an assessment on all of the agencies and the political jurisdictions whose employees and folks on boards, volunteers on boards who advise those governments, everybody whose actions are covered by the Government Standards and Practices Commission, that they be assessed a fee to cover all of those folks to provide adequate and independent funding for the Government Standards and Practices Commission. I think it's, you know, I'm not sure how, given that we need to have state funding for this agency, you completely take it out of the hands of the political process. But I think that spreading it across other jurisdictions helps make that a more independent source.
Thank you very much. Senator, Representative Smith, and then Representative Avakian.
Think about the idea, if you really wanted to tie it to the will of Oregonians, put a box on your tax return, a checkoff, and let Oregonians fund this. Let them decide how much they want to put into government standards and practices. Every session we would know how much cash is coming forward based upon the will of Oregonians.
It might be bigger than the K-12 budget if you do that.
Well, you'd have a heavy budget. You'd be squeaky clean.
Madam Chair, Representative Smith.
Yeah.
I really don't know how to answer that question.
There's no requirement.
Completely new idea to me.
You'll have an opportunity to come back and testify in phase two so you can digest this concept and come back with your response more thoughtfully. Representative Avakian.
I'm just curious what your concern is about our apparent whims and why you have no concern about the potential whims of local governments.
Madam Chair, Representative Avakian, we put this idea forward to get the conversation going, to try to figure out if there was a way to get this agency funded in a more independent way, a way that's more independent of just the legislative body. We've seen in the last couple of years the Government Standards and Practices Commission budget be cut to a point where they are having, they have one investigator, and last year that one investigator was tied up with one investigation. They are hardly able to do the work that they are charged with doing, and I think that this year we have great will around this building to get this agency funded, but I'd like to see that continue in the future and us not be coming back to an environment that's perhaps more hostile to this agency and finding out that this agency goes away because there's essentially no funding for it. So, but I'm still not getting to your question about why I think that local governments won't be more hostile. I guess I think that if...
Or are you asking that we mandate that local governments pay so they don't have a choice?
Ms. Weatherston, if you would like to take this question and reflect on it so that you can have prepared responses, I will make sure that you have an opportunity to testify when we get into phase two. Your choice.
Madam Chair, I appreciate that opportunity. And
that's more than fair, and I'm happy to just withdraw the question and let us finish up.
Okay. Senator Morris.
I think one of the concerns of members is that this whole activity be apolitical, just absolutely neutral. Has any discussion ever occurred with respect to putting this commission in the judiciary, which then it casts an entirely different perspective on the whole issue? And there is a very close nexus between violations and the consequences, because it then picks up. That's obviously where it would go in consequences.
And I believe we have immunity from the judiciary while we're in session.
While we're in session, yeah.
While we're in session.
Unfortunately, the session's in. But anyway, I would raise that as a question of elevating the importance, increasing the objectivity, and insulating from the political process, which I think, at least I haven't been around here long, but I sense that that's a concern of this whole commission. Does it stay totally neutral, apolitical, and objective?
I would ask that all three of you come back prepared to answer that question in phase two. I know that you're going to Mr. Hearn will be with us. I know you two are going to stay as keen observers, and so I invite your comments at that point. Senator Morissette, last question? Nope.
I was going to point out, because of an upcoming medical thing for the director, we changed the schedule for, I believe they're up
a week from today
for Phase 2. So.
Good. All right. Then for everyone who is listening to this on the televisions or following it in some other way, please note that the calendar has changed. And check for the postings for the hearing in round two, phase two. And unless there are any other questions from the panel, I'm going to thank Mr. Hearn for coming and helping us. Thank you both for your comments. And I am going to close the public hearing on House Bill 5033, Government Standards and Practices Commission, and this concludes the committee deliberation on the priorities for that agency. Any comments from the committee? There being none, then we stand adjourned until 8:30 on Monday, the 28th. Thank you very much. We're adjourned without a...